And welcome back to another awesome episode of Beat the Smith. Tonight we have Deke Parker on, Forge and Fire champion, also custom knife maker of some really nice knives from little to big. If he does stuff like me, he considers it work, but what he does is definitely way past work. So introduce yourself, Deke, and give us a little kind of a quick brief bio on you.
Hi, I'm Deke Parker. I'm 26 years old. I live in Elkhart, Kansas. Been making knives for 10 or 12 years now. Been on Forged and Fire a couple of times. I weld for a living and shoe horses when I'm not doing that. So I make as much time as I can for knives.
Now, there you go. Now, you do a little bit of leather work, don't you?
Yes, sir. That's actually what I went to school for. I went to saddle school right out of high school. So I've built, a few saddles and do a lot of leather work for people.
Nice. I had a chance to work in a boot shop, and I'll tell you what, that's not for me.
It's a little different animal, isn't it?
Oh, the work wasn't bad. It's just other things. We'll talk about that another day offline, but yeah. I just think it's kind of funny. That just definitely. I work with iron, I work with steel, things that cut, make you bleed. Let's just kind of dive into it. So what got you into knife making as he's going ADHD on trying to keep focused, like we all do. Don't worry, I do the same thing. I got a pen here, a sketch on my pen.
What got me into knife making? Man, I was kind of a feral kid, so I could only afford the little Chinese knives, and I broke them all the time. So I pretty much set myself to make a knife that I couldn't destroy, and then I just kind of spitballed into where I'm at today,
Kind of got caught the fever and then went through.
It started as a need a tool, make a tool type of thing.
And you do a little bit of blacksmithing, correct?
Quite a bit of blacksmithing. I do Damascus from top to bottom, forge finish knives, all kinds of stuff.
Letter openers, little stake turners.
Fireplace sets, shovels,
Nice.
all the stuff.
Fun stuff.
Oh
And
yeah.
Plus the press you can see behind you built that yourself too here a few years back.
Yeah, that there's Mr. Squishy.
Mr. Squishy, I got a little squishy. It's not that big a squishy. And
Yeah.
that's what she said, folks. But
Yeah.
so you say you're working on got tired of busting little cheap junk knives. What was your first knife and what was made from and how did you go about it?
Yeah. I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but I got a freezer trying to die over there in the corner of the shop. It's not very happy. But
Nope, can't hear it, so.
okay, good. Well, if you do, that's what it is. What did you ask? Sorry, I got distracted by the
It's been a Monday
refrigerator.
that we're recording this awfully late. We've been trying to get this done for 2 weeks now. Both of us work and everything else. So the question was when that first knife you made for yourself because you got tired of junk, what did you make it out of and how did you go about it?
I started with angle grinders and barriers rasps. I think well the first knife that I made was actually out of a file. Just a Nicholson file. I mean, heat treated it in a coffee can full of vegetable oil, and got as good of a bevel on it as I could with some angle grinders and files, and just pretty much used everything I could find. And it was actually a pretty decent knife. I skinned a couple of deer with my first knife and still got it today. I actually used a piece of koa that one of my really good friends gave me. So
Nice, very nice. So what got from there, from simple little angle grinders, everything else. So come tell us a little story on how you got that. I know it's been a late night and been a long day, it looks like. So tell us kind of the progression from that knife to where you are today.
from that knife, man, before Forged in Fire, I thought I was the only knife maker on the planet. I mean, I kind of
Well, you're
evolved.
kind of in the little tiny corner of middle of nowhere Kansas. So I understand that. I mean, it's
Oh
flat
yeah.
there.
Yeah, if you're within, 50 miles of my house, you're lost.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like I say, I made knives for me to begin with, and then people started buying them from me. I'd walk around town with them, and somebody'd ask me where I got it, and then I'd sell it to them, and then I'd have to make me another one, and it just kind of spitballed into where I'm at now. I mean, I really started traveling a lot after the first Forged in Fire. I went to Blade Show my first year. Oh, I
And that's where
don't
we
even
met there the
know.
first time you, I believe that was 2021, wasn't that correct? Yeah, that was 2021, I think. Or
Somewhere in there.
no, that might have been no. That was when I had the kids. That was 2019.
19. Yeah,
2019,
19.
but right before the big COVID natty word.
Yep.
That's right. That's when we first met there. You and the guys got together and did a table. That was pretty interesting. Pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's kind of where it spitballed for me, because like I say, before Forged in Fire, I didn't even know there was another knife maker out there, and it really kind of opened up the whole network. And I started traveling around, I started doing classes, I started going to hammer-ins, just learning as much as I could, and that's kind of how I got to be here. I tested for journeyman in, oh, what was that, 23
Yep.
now. I've kind of been laying low here for a little while. I'm trying to really get some processes locked down so I can start chasing after my master smith.
And you're a junior smith now, right? Journeyman
Yeah.
smith, right? Yep, that's
Yeah.
right.
I passed my journeyman in 23.
Three, that's right. That's something I haven't tried to do yet. I should, but I'm not very good at tests. I mean, I don't know. I thought about getting the stuff and kind of getting the parameters and just kind of play with it here and there when I can, but trying to keep those bills paid. But yeah, tell us a little bit about that journey, if you don't mind, when you first started doing that. And,
Journey to journeyman.
yep, how'd you get your journey and everything else? Just talk about that.
Oh man, that was like the most stressful, rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. Like I am a I've got to be able to set some kind of records for how hard I can procrastinate.
I think that is a an automatic a given if you're a maker, I think personally. At least a few of the people I've been around too. So go ahead.
Oh
Sorry.
no, definitely. No, on my road to journeyman, JW Randall, really good friend of mine.
Big shout out to JW there in
Big shout out to
Louisiana.
JW. Yep. Really, really nice guy, but he helped me out with my journeyman. He was kind of my mentor, master smith. I bounced ideas off of him. I showed him my set as I kind of got it done. Anyway, like 3 weeks before Blade Show, I had two knives, like 80%. I had one that I thought was done, and I had one that was about 85, 90%. And I took them to Shreveport 3 weeks before Blade Show, had JW look at them. We found some things wrong with them, and I remember driving all the way to Shreveport, get there at like 11, and we're in the shop looking at these knives. 11 o'clock at night, and we whack the handle off of one of my knives because we both decide that it's not going to make it. It was kind of off center, and there was no way to fix it. So 3 weeks before Blade Show, I had to completely start over on the one knife that I thought I had done, and finish four more. So yeah, it was about 6 a.m. the night that we left for Atlanta, or 6 a.m. the morning of the day that we left for Atlanta, and I had to be on a plane at 9:30 in Amarillo, Texas, which is about 2.5 hours from me.
Oh, that good times, good times, good
Oh
times.
yeah, and like I say, most rewarding thing ever. Whenever they come out of judging and tell you that you passed, because you sit there for 2 hours, don't hear anything from anybody, and then they start calling the names of the people that passed, and I got to be one of them, I guess.
So, what tell us what it was sitting there waiting. I mean, you can't go anywhere. I mean, I don't think there's the bath that's in the pit area, if I'm not mistaken. during the
Yep.
pick time and such. Tell us what it's like to be sitting there waiting for that. I mean, just I mean, one of, we'll go back. We'll get through this part, and then we'll go back to that journey of starting on that. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's super stressful. You drop your knives off, you put them on a table, and you write your name on a business card so they know whose they are, you know, because everybody's maker's mark's a little bit different. Put your name on there, put your five knives out, and then you go and sit on a couch until they get done judging. And whenever when I tested, there was like 50 applicants for journeyman, so it was one of the biggest classes to test, I guess. And yeah, it took them 2.5 hours. We just sat down there and twiddled our thumbs and talked to each other for 2.5 hours, sitting there worrying about what they're going to say, you know?
What did that feel like? I mean, I've been in a couple of things waiting for, figure out, okay, an hour, whatever, and not like on that level. I mean, it's been for other things, but what is it? Tell us exactly how you felt. I mean, what did that motion in your head and that self-doubt? I'm sure you probably took those knives apart four or five different ways and, oh, did I do this? Did I do that kind of thing?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then, you know, you're worried about traveling with them. You know, I just put 200 hours in this set of knives, you know. This is more time than I've spent on any five knives ever, and you just put your heart and soul into them, and you basically just sitting there hoping they like what you did, you know? I mean, it's pretty stressful really, 'cause like I say, you put 200 hours into the thing. You want it to be appreciated. So
Nice. Now, for those who have not heard of the ABS testing or ABS, what is that is the American Bladesmith Society, which is really cool. I mean, there's only a handful of, oh, hell, I don't think there's that many master smiths in the US. I think there's only like, what, 40, 30?
yeah, there ain't very many.
There ain't
I
very
don't know what
many.
the numbers are anymore.
I can't remember either. Matter of fact, one of the guys that's helped started that was Bill Moran, who taught my dad how to make Damascus. Dad took one of his
That's cool.
classes, so when I was about a month old,
Oh, wow.
right? I don't remember going up to that class, but apparently I was supposedly there, or maybe I was left home. I can't remember, but anyway, I digress. But anyway, so you're sitting there waiting, and one of the steps before you get there, you've got to do pass the 90-degree test. Tell us a little bit of that and what that is, folks. They make a specific kind of knife, two parameters, and I got glue. No, that's glue. That glue? I got glue in my hands. Did some gluing yesterday or the day before. Anyway, back to it. What they do is get a specific kind of knife there, and you got to take a bar after you work some blood, sweat, and tears into this knife, and then you bend it 90 degrees. Tell us about that from start to finish on that.
So the parameters on the knife, it's got to be, you basically build a chopper, but it's got to be under 15 inches, I think, and under 2 inches wide. And what you got to do is you got to make the knife sharp enough to cut through a freestanding rope. I think it's an inch and a half diameter minimum, or 1 inch diameter
I think
manila
so.
rope, and you got to swing through it in one chop, so it has to be sharp enough to do that. And then it has to be tough enough to cut through a 2x4 twice and still shave hair. That's before the rope. Well, no, rope's first and then the 2x4.
Yep.
And then it still has to be able to shave hair, so you have to have edge retention. And then they clamp the first 3 inches of the knife in the vise, and you have to bend it all the way 90 degrees with no cracks, breaks, any of that stuff.
How was that? Hand that bar to you, and you had to bend that knife after spend the time on that, and the process of that. I mean, that's not something simple to do. I mean, that's something you gotta pick your steel. Is there certain parameters for the steel on that, or is
Now,
it?
you can use any steel that you want. It just has to be able to do the job.
Okay.
I think you could even use stainless if you wanted to, like AEBL that's forgeable, but
You.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No, I wouldn't recommend that either. So tell us what that like bending that over and having everybody watching there.
Man, you know, it was another one of those deals. I had no idea, right? So whenever I built the performance test knife, the one that you have to bend, I actually built four of them. The first two, I had a couple. I had a pretty good idea how I wanted to heat treat it and all that. So the first three, I heat treated them all the same, tempered them all three different. So I could kind of soften that spine a little bit more. I wanted to see how much I could get away with on how much hardened edge to keep, because you don't want the whole knife to be hard or it's going to
No,
crack when you bend it,
yeah.
right? So I did some playing on that, and so I made three test knives before I actually made my performance knife. And like I say, heat treated them all the same. I broke two out of three, and the third one that I made to play with, I bent it 25 times.
Go ahead. I'm just letting the dog in. Sorry.
Oh yeah, no, I bent my third one 25 times, and I actually finally broke it in a class. So I do teach some knife making, like beginner classes, and I was using that performance test knife, one of the knives that I made practicing for my performance test, and I'd just bend it 90 degrees a different direction every time I had a class to show people what you can make a knife do, you know,
And
with
that's
the right knowledge.
not really practical for, knives. It's just kind of cool, and it's one of the tests. I mean, if you can, I need to do that. And I've got kind of ways to thinking about it. My dad was telling me a story. Let me cut you off there, Dick. Tell me about an old boy who was doing it, and he tempered his knife over like 2 or 3 days on it, multiple times, getting that down. But yeah, I've heard, I've heard some stories, horror stories. Eep, pop. But man, just watch it, even watch those videos, even I'm going like that's not my knife. I'm going breathe, breathe. So
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's stressful, man.
you got to
It's
that point, you got to that, you got your blade there thing. Tell us what it was like when you grabbed that bar and started bending it over in front of everybody. What did you feel?
Oh, it was like I say, it's super stressful, man. You're just sitting there just like gritting your teeth, you know, just 'cause it's terrible. It's terrible for everyone around, you know? I mean, everybody, you can just see the looks on everybody's faces if
Everybody's
you have
like,
a, yeah, they're kind of like standing back 'cause they're like, "Man, if this thing breaks, there's going to be chunks flying everywhere." And it's a rush, man. It's got to be pretty similar to like skydiving or something, you know? It really is kind of a rush.
yeah, I need, I
Especially
didn't
once
even
you
get,
pass.
I need to give it a try and just kind of fucking around with it. I think I'd probably go like 5160 personally, but
5160 has passed that test more than any steel on the planet.
Tell you how to do something different. Okay.
I did 80 CRV too.
Now I've never played with that, that I know of. I played with 8670, I think is 8670.
Yeah, that's kind of newer.
That
I've
is,
messed with it a lot.
I got to play with it out there in Adelaide shop here a couple 2 3 years ago, and it's like forging 5160, but it's different. Feels
Yep.
like 5160, but you know there's something different. It moves a little bit better than 5160, and it just it's fun stuff to play with. You ever get a chance to play with that stuff, so so eyes open, eyes closed when you get that knife over.
I kept them open because I wanted to see it fail if it was going to, you know. Yeah, I it's just It like I say, it's got to be pretty similar to, you know, riding a bull or skydiving or something. It just is every muscle in your body is kind of twitching a little bit because you're like real excited, real scared at the same time, you know, get a lot of adrenaline.
I'll bet. So, now is it just 90 over, or you got to bring it back?
It's
So,
just 90 over. It's
okay.
90, and the master smith that you're testing with he'll stop you at 90, and then you just all pressure off. And that's another thing. There's kind of some tricks to doing the testing too. Like whenever they tell you to let off of it, you don't just let go of the pipe, you know, because then you get a lot of shock, and a lot of times the knife's going to return most of the way back to straight. Mine's almost straight, the one that I did 90 degrees with,
Nice.
you know. But you
Very
don't want to
clever.
just give it all the release, because then it might
Yeah.
break on the way up too, and then
Might
you're,
throw the pipe and hit somebody in the head.
yeah. Yeah, you could
Boing.
injure an innocent bystander, you know?
Give us kind of the specs on that, if you wouldn't mind. I'm kind of curious. What are the specs on that? I mean, thick? I mean, kind of told us a little bit. How thick a spine on that?
Mine was a 316 spine, inch and a half wide, and 15 3/4 long.
Nice.
I've got it sitting over here. If you wanna, I can go grab it right quick.
Let's just get, we'll get to that here in a second. We'll get some other stuff too. Now we kind of chit-chatted and everything else a few times. I've sent you some pictures of all the knives I'm working on, and you kind of went, God, that looks like work. No, thanks. And I know you've done a few, you know, a little bit of here, but I'm kind of more doing the production kind of thing because why I'm not, I like it. But I also want to work on some higher end stuff. But I got to get me to that point where I can feel comfortable the bills are being paid and I can do a little where I can re I got to be able to focus on that,
Oh,
on
yeah.
the area kind of like you're doing with like your pheasant knife and everything else. I feel like I got to be able to focus on it. I don't have to worry about that because if I don't, I'm going to screw that up. But kind of tell us a little bit why do you prefer doing more of the mosaic type stuff, knives and such, over than just the regular kind of stuff like I do.
Well, and there, I've done what you do. I mean, I was full time for 2 years, you know, and it almost ruined it for me. I'll never make knives full time again until I don't have to, right? So this is kind of my retirement plan. This is my, you know, me and the kids hang out in the shop occasionally type of thing. Whenever I had to keep the lights on making knives, it kind of made me hate it. You know what I mean? Like
I get that.
I had to do it because I had to make so much money, you know, and it was just like once it turned into a job, I didn't like it near as good, you know. Now I build whatever I want. I tinker here, I tinker there. I build, like I say, whatever I want. I'm more of a, I don't know, I kind of got like a hippie standpoint on it, you know. I don't really care to pay my bills with it. I don't even care if I sell one. I honestly like making them, you know. I'm definitely love selling them, but
Well, I
yeah.
hear you there.
I do it for the creative outlet, the stress relief, you know, however you want to put it. That's why.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. I like it because I can do it my own shop, not have to deal with people anymore.
Absolutely.
I'm not a people person, and I've told other people before. It's like my, you know, it's like tell my mom there. They said, "Well, you've never been a people person. You can only take people so long." And you're like, "Okay, go home, shoo shoo." You know, now that's a little different when I'm around, like in the shows and everything else. Everyone's like, "Well, God, you, well, I'm at a show. I'm in my element. I'm in areas where people like me, like D, like you, Deke, or like Sean, or anything like that." That's a whole different. Being there, even though you're behind the table and dealing with customers, but afterwards you're dealing with family. I mean, that's what this community's like. It really is. Sam, when I took him down to Texas Select that one first time and asked him, "What do you think about that?" He says, "God, that was more of a family reunion than a show, I thought."
Oh yeah,
Oh.
definitely.
Well, right on. So we got into, you know, we talked, you know, how you got into it, why. You know, you got a pretty nice little shop there. I mean, it's got like anybody else's shit scattered everywhere.
Oh yeah, it's awful right now. It's
I
really
just
bad.
I did a little bit of vacuuming the other day because I had to because I was cutting down handle material and dust was everywhere. So I literally you could it was kind of cool vacuuming that up. You can see the different layers of the different woods I was cutting and everything else.
Yeah.
I found a piece of wood I didn't know I had. I had it. It's either I'm pretty sure it's bloodwood. The Google picture said the same thing, or it's Brazilian cherry wood, which I think is about the same, if I remember correctly. But I'm there's so many different types of wood out there. It's kind of it's gorgeous stuff. You cut it one way, the table saw kind of grinds. When you cut it the other way, it cuts a little bit easier. But it was pretty tough stuff. Beautiful though. Turn the shop pink.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I got plenty of that. And you get into the colors and that's when it's kind of cool. You know, you can grind a little bit of blues and purples and greens and all kinds of stuff, and then yeah,
Gold.
you can just run your finger through the dirt on the grinder table and it's like rainbow, you know.
Right? Or you turn around and look in the mirror and you look like you choked out a Smurf. or
Oh,
grown up
yeah.
or somewhere.
Yeah.
Turn blue. Tell us a little bit about your Mosaic knives and such. I know we talked a little bit. I tried to play with it. I'm doing a canister with a cable on it. I'm going to redo that. The cable was off center, and it didn't. I didn't realize what you're talking. When you're talking about cutting it for tile and you angle it. I saw RJ Global out of Tennessee there. I got to get him on. He was doing some mosaic and he was cutting tile. He put his thing in and they put he had his band saw. So I was like, oh shit, that's what Deke was referring to. Had to see a video to understand it. So that way your edges are and you can tile it all together. So
Yeah, you can get that good scarf weld in there
yes.
for
Tell
sure.
us a little, tell us about that and your journey on that. And I know you took a class from JW here a few back, and
Yep.
tell us a little bit about that. Share that. I mean, share whatever you want to feel. You will do. Dive right into it. Sure.
Well, there's another shout out to JW Randall. Awesome guy. I went down
He keeps
and
Jeff on his toes when it comes to comp the judging and everything else.
oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, I took a that's how I got into Mosaic was with JW. You know, I was doing some feather patterns, some face pattern Damascus, which is, you know, layered steel, and then you texture it and grind it off. That's how you get your chevrons, raindrop, you know, ladder pattern, random Damascus, all what I consider face pattern. And then I went and took I don't even remember how long it was. I think it was a
It's
week long
been,
class.
yeah, about a week, and yeah, I'm still jealous about that. I'm that's in my goal book to go take a class from him, and
Oh yeah. The guy has a wealth of knowledge. He makes it look easy. I mean, he's really good at it, and he makes it look easy, you know, and everything he does ain't easy, but he makes it look that way.
yeah, I've been told that when we're grinding, when I got classes doing the grinding and everything, they're like, "You make it look easy." I look at them, just, "Oh, I've been doing this 3 weeks."
This is actually my second day.
Yeah, going on third. I mean, I've just turned 40. I've been doing it on and off since I was 10 years old. I've been around, I grew up around it, but I really started focus on it. Started selling, actual selling at shows at 13. So I've been doing it for about 30 years. I'm good at what I do for the style of knife. I want to branch out and do a little bit more. I'm making a couple swords. I've finally finished the Valor sword. I'll have to send you some pictures of that.
Oh yeah.
Only took 6, 7 years, so
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a few times, you know.
yeah, I'd procrastinate big time. That's where the procrastination comes in. But tell us a little about that. What class did you take with him and such? What did you go down to learn?
I took an advanced Mosaic Damascus class with him. And like I say, I want to say it was a week long class, and we did the pheasant knife. Or we did the pheasant pattern. I've still got a pretty good sized chunk of the pheasant Damascus,
That's
but
what she said. Ba-dum-tsh.
yeah. But I made the pheasant knife, sold it to a Pheasants Forever Club, and they raffled it off, did really well. It was awesome.
I mean, that to give you an idea, folks, what that looks like. It looks like a pheasant literally coming out of the field with feathers. I mean, it's great detail for it. I'm like, first time my son is like, "Can I just take this home for a minute? I just want to look at it. Just want to look at it."
Yeah. Just want to take you home.
Right. That was awesome. Tell us a little about how do you, if you don't mind, how you made that.
So we did the pheasant in a canister. You basically start with like what's called a cookie cutter image, you know, how cookie cutter looks. If you want it to be pheasant shaped, it's going to be a silhouette of a pheasant. And then you alternate your steel. So the pheasant was actually a high carbon steel, so like a darker etch, and the powder on the outside of the pheasant was a lighter color, like a 15 in 20. And we put it inside of a piece of 3 inch by 3 inch square tubing and weld it all up. So now you've got this really long bar, you know, 30 inch long bar with a pheasant on the end of it, right? So say 30 inch bar by, I think it was about inch and a half by inch and a half square,
So
and
you
there was
got
a
to
pheasant
forge
on the
that
end.
down, squishing that down. What actually, you bring your canister up, you let it soak real good, and then you press it down, and then you got to work that down. And I bet that was like, oh God, I hope it'll make a.
Yeah, that's pretty stressful because you want to pay attention to your corners and everything. You want to You want to start square and you want to keep it real square after that. And you gotta get your can off pretty soon because, you know, you ever seen a piece of square tubing with square corners on it?
Nope.
They don't exist. So you gotta get your can off pretty quick, or the can shrinking around the steel itself will distort it, right? So if your pheasant twists or bobbles anywhere through that bar, you'll be able to see it in the finished pattern.
Okay.
So you gotta draw it out really uniform, you know, that whole deal. And then I built a bunch of basket weave steel to go around it, which basket weave is I'm gonna have to put my I'm gonna have to put my phone on battery saving mode here. But
Uh-oh.
basket weave is when you've got vertical and horizontal layers that look like they're overlapping each other. And you draw that down into the same size bar as your pheasant, and then you start stacking them around the pheasant. So you have a basket weave wrapped around a pheasant on the end of the bar. And that's where you weld all that together, and then that's where you get into the tiling. So you cut it at an angle so it gives you a scarf to weld to, and you lay your tiles out and weld all the scarfs basically. And then you draw it out into the bar.
You put a you probably put if I remember correct, you said you lay down a sheet of mild steel, I'm guessing, and put a kind of a jacket. You kind of make a semi canister that way, and then you and if I remember correct, correct me if I'm wrong, and then you got a weld mark where each seam is, so you can forge weld each individual spot. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, I get
Look,
them.
I paid attention, folks. Woo-hoo!
Yep. You got to be really clean because you can't weld all of the scarves in one heat, right? So you're welding one scarf joint. So each tile, you're welding in different heats. So you can't really get away with borax or, you know, even any of the different fluxes because you have so many heats. You know, like my pheasant billet was. Shit, man, it was like 15 tiles. So you can get two tiles in one heat, you know. You put it under the press and you meep, meep, hit the other one, you know. But two is pushing it because you have to keep it at welding heat, but you gotta work down that bar. And you don't wanna distort it much after you tile it, right? So you don't wanna squish it very much on each joint. You just have
Just
to
enough
get
to
them.
set that weld.
Yep, set that weld and get it solid. And that's all you want to do because you don't want to distort your pattern now. You got 30 hours of work in it before you tile it, you know?
Right on. And then from there, you just kind of do a stock remove. You don't forge the blade out. Then you just go in and set it up or.
It really depends on your pattern. Like the pheasant knife, I forged the tip in and the ricasso in on the pheasant knife
Okay.
because I cut it off with just the basket weave on the tip. And cut it off right behind the first pheasant because I didn't like that one. But then you can forge that tip in and it changes your pattern. You know how the pattern
Yes,
will
yes.
follow the edge.
Yep, the grain structure falls
So,
right in and nice.
and if you want that effect, then yeah, you have to forge it in. So the pheasant
Okay.
I did ricasso and the tip so I
Yeah,
could
but
make the.
you don't for what I should have said is you don't forge your bevels in. You don't draw it out or it's gonna distort things, or do you with
No.
a
No,
you that's all.
fully grind bevels because you can't predict what the distortion is going to do whenever you hammer those bevels in, right?
Yeah.
Like going to the tip, all the layers are going to pull towards the smallest point. Same thing on the ricasso. When you draw those bevels out, they're going to try to follow every hammer blow that you put in it, right? And then you got a waffly pattern, and it doesn't look like you did it on purpose, right?
Right. No, I meant to do that. Don't worry about it. That's how it turned out, right? You know.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you don't tell anybody what you're trying to do, nobody's gonna
Right?
worry about it
No.
too
We
much.
try to be honest. I mean, there's a few times that I get forging something and you're like, well, I didn't mean to do that, but that looks better than I wanted to do. Let's go with
Yeah,
that.
occasionally accidents look better than on purpose.
Right? You did that. You did your Junior Smith. I mean, your Journeyman Smith. Your JS. We call it JS for short. Got through that. You've done this. You've done your pheasant knife. You're doing more of that still. You're probably now. You're just kind of a little bit of knives for your recreational making now. Is basically is what you're
Yep,
saying.
yep.
Work full time. You got one of those daytime jobs. I'm like, I gotta have to probably go get one myself. Maybe a part time, but ew, that's just a scary thought. I don't like that idea, but gotta do what you gotta do, right?
Yep.
Whatever keeps this off the stripper pole, because no, let's be honest, nobody wants to see this on a stripper pole.
Yeah. Be a quick way to starve for me too, buddy.
Right. So you and Sean, how did you and Sean meet?
How did me and Sean meet? Man, I want to say it would have been like 2019 Belleville. I think we were both pretty fresh off of Forged in Fire. I mean, I've been pretty good friends with Sean since then. I think it was 2019 or
Yeah, that sounds
2020.
about right because I think that's the first or second year they did there in Belleville, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So, well, the first year they did Belleville was 2019, because
Yeah.
that's when my episode actually aired like the month after the Belleville show, so I couldn't tell anybody I was on Forged in Fire
That's
yet.
right. You're right. That's correct.
And that year, yeah, Sean was there that year, so I met him that year, and then we stayed at the Domes the next year, the 2020, and it was Sean and Jared Fiskus, which are both really close friends of mine. Shout out to Jared.
Jared, woo! Yes.
Woohoo! You'll have to get him on here one of these days
Yeah,
too.
I'm going down the list, so I'm trying to I get yeah, I've got a lot of people want to get on here and everything else and just chit chat, but anyway, go on.
So yeah, that's where I really got to know Sean was like, I mean, the year that we stayed in the domes, we had a bonfire every night. We hung out in the yard. There was 20 knife makers, you know, just hanging out, you know, and we all stayed pretty close after that. And Sean was, well, first time I was at Blade Show, he was there. He had a Chris knife that he made and was walking around showing to people. And we just kind of always been friends since then, you know, and then we started traveling together because it's like, hey man, we're only about 5 hours apart,
Was gonna say
so
about 5, 6 hours apart there in Oklahoma.
yeah.
SDS Knives, big shout out to Sean. We had him on here a few episodes back. His episode hasn't aired yet. I want to say October 6th is when his dropped, but don't get. Yeah, I've got him. We got a few recorded out, and it's been fun doing this. But go ahead, anyway. Sorry, I'm in a squirrel moment. Sorry.
Oh, you're good, man. But yeah, that's how me and Sean got together. And then it was like, you know, all the knife shows I was going to were on the other side of Oklahoma City. So I'd just drive to his house and hop in with him. We'd go to a show and split an Airbnb, you know, go out and have a good time. And we basically used it to save money because, you know, shows are expensive, man.
Yes.
They're ridiculous. You got to buy
And
the
here I'm
tickets,
driving
you
clear
got to
from Utah to
travel.
down to Belleville, Texas. It was a 2-day drive. Everyone's
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
think
Yeah.
I'm about the only one that drives that far from this area so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know many Smiths from Utah way, but well, Jared's driven it from pretty close to you, too. He did it
Yeah.
three
Well,
or
there
four
was
times.
one. I take that back. There's a boy from, he's right there on the Utah-Colorado border. Oh, for hell's sakes. I can't think of the name of the town. He's been down there. He's got a little show that goes on out that way. I've been gonna go up to it, just never got to it. He was there. So I'm not the only one, I guess. That's right. Was about 2 years ago, but I met him about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I think. So I take that back. I stand corrected. I corrected myself. Look at me. I'm on the back.
Yep.
Oh. So, what else you do? I mean, they got the leather working and everything else. You and Sean came up with this wild idea called the Wandering Bladesmith. And Sean
Yep.
kind of shared a little bit. You guys come back on a road trip and got talking about it. Dog drinking water behind me. He's thirsty, apparently. I'm going to have to fill that again, man. Can you mind? Thank you. Go to bed. Ah, bad as kids.
Yep.
Sometimes I think they listen a little bit better sometimes. But anyway, he was kind of sharing about, talking about, having a going somewhere and just have a beer somewhere else and talk about knives or build knives. Tell us your part of the story there and we'll get dive into that.
Well, that's honestly how it started. think we were on our way back from where we were on our way back
Blade
from
show. I think it
Atlanta
was
or
back
Blade
from
Show.
Atlanta. Yep, 12
Yeah.
hours.
Yeah, and I mean it's full day drive and we're just kind of BSing and I like Guinness. I mean if we go to a restaurant that serves it specially on tap, I'm getting a Guinness. That's how it is. And
I can't blame it. I've had to cut back on the beer because it makes me.
oh yeah, I don't drink much in the summertime, beer wise anyway. It's too hot for that. Especially when I'm sweating to death, shoeing horses and all that good
Yes, you
stuff.
don't want to
So
do that.
nope, it hurts too bad. But anyway, that's how it started. I got to talking about Guinness and Sean's like, man, we ought to just pop over there and have a Guinness in Ireland. And pretty much, halfway the other half of the ride home from Atlanta, we started planning trips. We're like, man, who do we know there? I mean, is there any knife makers like we should use? We should try to use knives to help us travel and meet other makers, go abroad and kind of learn some stuff from other people, check out cool handle materials, I mean, just well,
No, fell down. And I
I
was gonna say,
cracked
there's
my
a blacksmith. I follow him. We all follow him on Facebook. Can't think of his name. He's a traditional blacksmith there in Ireland. Oh heavens! You guys went and visited him for a minute, I think. Checked out his shop. What was his name?
Patrick Brennan is the guy that we actually that was kind of our tour guide, but Liam Christie. Dang it, I can't believe I'm spacing his name. Liam Christie's his son's name. He's on
Yes,
Facebook and
Fin Finian Liam
Finnan. Yep.
Finnan,
Finnan.
yes,
And then
Finnan.
Liam
Shout
Christie.
out to our friend across the seas, Finnan. Finnan, I haven't, that's one thing I don't like about Facebook. It tends to not show you stuff. You got to go and like, come on, just show me his stuff. Wow, he. A traditional blacksmith from Ireland. Anyway, shout out to our buddy over there in Ireland, Finian Liam Christie.
Yeah, and
If
he's
I said your name wrong, bud, I apologize.
he's a traditional blacksmith, so he does lots of hammers, blacksmithy type work,
A
stair railings,
beautiful shop. Did
Oh
you guys
yeah.
get the chance to check that out? I'm not sure. Anyway, go
Yeah,
ahead.
we did. He runs a really cool coal forge with big set of bellows and man, Europe is full of some of the most beautiful anvils you could even dream of. I
Oh,
mean,
that.
Finnan had, 500, 600 pound anvils, just like Söderfoss anvils, really cool old German church anvils and things like that. I mean, it was awesome.
Wow.
Stuff you don't see here,
I'll
mostly
bet.
because who's gonna ship that thing,
It's like, how do we get this on the plane?
Yeah.
Can we do carry on or check it?
Yeah. Shipping it home will cost you twice as much as the trip.
Could you imagine dragging that into the airport? Like, we're gonna check this, and can you imagine the look on their faces? What is that?
Man, they'd have to cut the flight like 10 passengers short just so they had enough weight left on the plane to take it with you.
Right. Ooh, excuse me. So that was your what was that was your first trip out is to Ireland or?
Yeah, that was the first big trip we went to Ireland, and like I say, we went to well, we flew into Dublin, stayed in Kilkenny, and a guy named Patrick Brennan, also a really good friend nowadays. Drove us around. He showed us the sights. I mean, we went to more castles than you can count on both hands.
Where blades have gone, never gone before. No, sorry.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we need like a Star Wars theme song or something
Star
for
Wars, no, Star Trek. Come on, get it right.
Star Trek. Ah,
Star Wars, what's wrong with you?
I was thinking like the dan 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 where blades have never gone before, but
That's Star Trek. Where
oh, is
boldly
it?
go, where no man's gone before. Come on, get it right.
No.
Yes, I am a nerd. I didn't realize how much of a nerd till like 10 years ago. I was sitting in the, doing the Great White Throne thing and taking a test on Star Trek trivia, and I got 100%, and that's when I realized, oh my God, I'm a nerd.
Oh my God.
Anyway, back to it. Sorry, squirrel moment, people. Sorry about the squirrel moment.
Oh yeah, no problem. No, he we hung out with Patrick and went to several bars. We played in his shop, got to experience the food. Now
How's the
the
food?
Ireland, it's Irish.
It's Irish. That's
I don't know,
funny.
I like spicy food and pepper's hot in Ireland. I mean that you can't get nothing spicy over there,
And
That's
hence
just
why they were
not.
looking for the trade route to India.
Yeah. And I'm not saying their food's bland. Their food, very good. Maybe just not my type of thing,
Not Southwest, Northern Texas and Oklahoma spicy.
Oh yeah. I mean it's gotta be hot, man.
So
I that
anyway,
was
back to
telling
her,
Jamie.
sorry.
Yeah, the food over there. Well, and I was really surprised, like we went to McDonald's. That was my first time going to a McDonald's abroad. And you would be surprised, like real ham, real muffins and stuff. Like, it's a totally different deal.
Yeah, my
It's
buddy of
not.
mine, he sent his daughter, got a chance to send his daughter over to a soccer camp over in Spain, and they
Oh,
went
no.
to a McDonald's. I'm like, are you serious? But it
Oh, it's.
tasted way better. I don't care. You went to a McDonald's, you're in Spain, and you went to a McDonald's. I'm going to slap you next time I see you for that.
No,
But
dude,
anyway, back to it.
you gotta, it's a totally different McDonald's experience, you gotta eat European McDonald's so that you know how crappy ours are.
Well,
Let's put it that way.
I'm pretty sure after listening to Joe Rogan, a lot of other things, and a few other guys, yeah. But anyway, so how was the Guinness over there compared to?
Oh, dude, I almost couldn't drink it when I got home. It was like. I mean, Guinness in Ireland, I could bathe in it, I mean, it was like
He probably did. He
surreal,
probably took something in the shower. Went, oh, sorry.
Oh yeah, dude, it was like that. And then I got home and I didn't drink it for like 6 months because I got home, opened one out of a bottle, and was so disappointed with it. I was like, this is not what I want it to be anymore,
We have our own beer here, but when it comes to foreign name beer, I've heard when you go to Germany that the beer's really thick.
Oh yeah.
So, but anyway, well, we're going to try to keep a lot of the stories of the Wonder Blend so we can get you and Sean on here so we can hear a little bit. I'm just going to let you guys roll with it on that. But anyway, go ahead and finish on your Ireland, a little bit of your side of the Ireland trip, and because Sean talked about the doing the Italy trip and drinking champagne at like 1 in the afternoon or 1 in the morning or 11 in the morning, whatever it was, making folding knives out of a beer mug.
Oh yeah.
I
Yeah.
was like,
Well,
yes.
let's just skip to the Ireland or to the Italy
Okay.
trip. That
We'll
way
revisit
I
the
don't
Ireland, but when we
involved.
get Sean on here.
Yeah. I will give it to the Italian people, man. They are the only people in the world that can get you drunk and sober like four times in one day. That was my favorite part because they.
I Sean said you were, it's kind of funny. You went clear across the world to not only drink champagne out of a beer mug, but listen to country music while building folders.
Oh yeah. Carlo loved country music, man. So yeah,
That's
we were cueing American country music the whole time we were there, just jamming out, building folders and drinking champagne.
now the
And
question is, did you listen to a little George Strait while you were there?
oh
Oh,
yeah.
good, good,
And
good.
Carlo, he can sing every word, man. He's on it.
That's awesome. I'm hoping one of these days, one of these times, I'm in t if I feel in the good graces of you guys to follow a trip out, that would be fun. That would be fun to go with you guys wherever. Would be fun is to go down to St with Steve to South Africa.
I would really like to do that, and we've got an invite there, and Niels Vandenberg, he's wanted
Shout
us to
out to
come down.
Neil.
Yeah, shout out to Niels. Yeah, I mean, sky's kind of the limit on that deal, man. It's like I say, it's kind of like the whole knife making thing. I've kind of had to take a step back, take a little bit of time off, but.
And that's what
Ain't going anywhere.
I kind of have to do that this last year. Had to go to a day job last year, and that was kind of real tough for me. I kind of felt like I had to cut the ego out, no pun intended there on the cut, but I really had to swallow my pride and like, well, there's nothing wrong going in another job. It's just for me, I felt like I let myself down, but the economics drove it. I mean, everything, the class is just everything just boom. And that's what big of a thing was, the classes was fun, but I started getting burned out too. Because it was, like you said, it became a job, and it was charged to chasing that dollar to make sure everything's paid up, and had a lot of sleeping nights and up nights worrying, what, how am I going to do this? How am I going to come up scheme of this idea, how to do a new advertisement, come back this, that, and the other. So the job, going to the day job, really helped me out. I'm going to try it for a little bit, but I probably will pick up either a part-time job. But I really enjoy this. It's, for me, it's, well, making something, making that little cash, I mean, that's kind of how when I really got hooked onto it. I'm not going to lie. When I was a kid, I could make something, sell the cash, like, ooh, I can go buy whatever the hell I want now. Bye.
Yeah.
Kind of wish
Then
I
for me, it
stayed.
was usually more tools.
I was, trucks, and then I got excited that I like girls really a lot, started dating, and that was just dumb. I had to build my truck up and I had to do this or buy horses or buy traps and such. But it's nice to be able to build some knives or teach a class. And I had Cowboy and Eileen on here the other day, and they gave me, I never thought about it in their classes. For people that just want to do it for one day, have that bragging rights to build a knife, use a jig, use a bevel jig. And I'm like, I never thought of that, because I just figured, hell, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it the way I do it. And a lot of people had nerves about doing that, so I didn't end up finishing it. It's like, you know what? So I'm going to get me a few jigs. They're building a few down there out of the Phoenix knives, so I'm going to get me a few jigs and do it that way. But where else is you guys got planned besides South Africa? Any trips coming up in the next year or so, or?
Oh, not just yet. We need to do some looking. I've been talking to Sean. I'm hopefully going to visit him in the next month or two, and I bet you we come up with something. Don't really have anything set in stone yet.
Nice. Well, I got the daughter and everything, so things kind of tight right now. But yeah, and I'll tell you what, if you ever get a track and you got an extra room, let me know. I mean,
Oh,
just put
yeah.
me in a suitcase and carry me on as carry on.
Yep.
So, anything you want to share? I mean, we touched about this. I think we kind of just bounced around a lot of stuff. There's, we got about 6 minutes left here on the clock. I know we're getting pretty late. You've had a long day. So we don't start grabbling, go dur, and lose people. Is there anything you want to share about knife making or traveling, or, I mean, words of wisdom, or just anything else you want to share that you've always wanted to share on an interview about this, or you?
Okay, so traveling, I'm gonna tell you what I tell a lot of people. Do the weird thing. Eat the
That's what
weird
she said
food.
too, so that's
Talk
all.
to the old man in the corner. Like just do the weird thing, and that's how you get the most out of traveling, right there. Everybody's like, man, you go on these crazy adventures and you see so much stuff. You don't even have to be a people person. Just do the weird thing. Don't be a sheep.
But don't get too weird, I mean,
Yeah,
just
no,
don't.
don't like walk up to people in a random dark alley in Dublin or something. Like, no, you don't. You gotta have some boundaries, but
I heard
no.
they had to put a leash on you a couple of times. Hey, pull back here. Well, come on, let's go talk to him. He's got shiny object. No.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I was lost most of the time. It happens. But I meet a lot of cool people, okay? As far as knife making, do what you wanna do, man. It's an art form, Go out there and be Bob Ross with the pretty little trees
Right.
and the.
Oh no. I think his phone just died. Oh no. We'll have to do a part two makeup on this, folks. I'm pretty sure. I think his phone just died. Oh no. Dun dun dun. Oh, that's funny. Well, let me shoot or miss. I'm going to hit pause real, folks, and see. We'll come right back, see if we can get him. If not, I will finish up the story here. Be right back. Take a quick break. Oh, no. Oh, it didn't hit pause. Well, folks, I am back. Tried calling him. I'm pretty sure his phone died. We will. Yeah, I think we'll see if we can catch him for about 20 minutes. We'll do an extra on top of this. We'll go a little overtime. It'll be a different recording of it. We'll drop it at the same time. Again, thank you for joining us. We'll make sure he has his phone charged next time, which I forgot to remind him. So bad on the host. That was funny. Oh, Lord. All right, guys. We'll get back with you and we'll do another one. We'll see if we can catch him in a little bit and do a 15, 20 minute on that, on what he was about to share. So, hey, thanks again. Thanks for joining Behind the Anvil. And thanks for Deke Parker. And then, hey, Deke, if you're listening to this, charge your phone next time. We'll come back with him. And yeah, if I knew how to edit this properly, I could probably just edit on. But it ain't that good. But anyway, folks, have a great time. I appreciate you. Please share this out. Follow us along on all our platforms from Facebook at Mike Smaskus LLC. Find us on our website at MikeSmaskusKnives.com, on the TikTok at American Bladesmith, YouTube. As you're following here, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you like, follow, and share this. If you've gotten this far, we appreciate it. On Instagram, it's Mike D Knives, and on the X, it's Mike Smaskus Knives. Find Parker on Parker Knives. We'll get back. Oh, this is gonna be good. I'm gonna make a reel out of this. So again, all right, folks, thank you for joining. We'll get back to it on another episode. We'll do a part two to finish out this conversation. As we say in the shop, America, I screwed that up. This is how this episode's going. So stay sharp, America, because apparently I'm pretty dull tonight. Thank you, and God bless, and yeah. I thought for a second it was still paused. I was like, oh no, I'm making a reel of this. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next time. Stay sharp, America.